As we go about our daily lives, we observe that many people are very careful about what they eat and drink. Some try to eat only foods that are organically grown, or those not involving genetic engineering. Many, of course, have to avoid those foods that they are allergic to, things like nuts or gluten or lactose. Perhaps they cannot take in even a trace amount of these substances. Certainly, when someone travels to another country and food safety is not a high priority, then they must become very careful about what they eat and from where, so that they do not become sick from taking in some sort of sickness. This same sort of care can be taken in what we breathe in, so that we may avoid secondhand smoke and be careful about our air filters, or again in what we place against our skin, so we're concerned about what our clothing or sheets are made of, or what it is we use to wash them. Thus it is that, appropriately, people can sometimes be very careful about what they take into their bodies, whether by mouth, by breathing, or by direct contact with the skin. But what about what we take into our hearts and minds, our souls, by seeing and hearing? Too often, we who are sensitive about our physical vulnerability make choices and live and act as if we are invulnerable in what we see or what we hear, in what we know, in what we spend time reflecting upon. We feel we're able to look at anything, to talk about anything, to think about anything, as if nothing will hurt us or change us in this way. But it will. The 9th and 10th of the Ten Commandments direct us away from covetousness, from desiring and mentally dwelling upon people and things that are inappropriate for us. St. John, in his first letter, warns against the lust of the eyes. And our moral tradition urges us to practice custody of the eyes, that is, to exercise sufficient self-control that we do not even look upon those things which we should not be dwelling on. St. Thomas Aquinas, that 13th century philosopher and theologian who very much wanted to know and to understand, warned against the vice of curiositas, which is when the desire to know turns astray. This can happen, he says, when we seek to know in order to build up our own pride, or when we neglect what we have the duty to learn and know in order to look instead upon what is idle and unimportant. Or when we look upon something for no important purpose, but only for a certain sensory gratification. Or when we look specifically for a harmful purpose, such as to lust after someone, or when we want to think badly of them. So often, we want to hear about the bad things that others do, the scandals, the crimes, the failings. Think about what sells newspapers. Think about what gets forwarded by email or shared on Facebook. We want to know about it, the things out there, and also the things close by. So how often we talk about others' faults in gossip and detraction, even the falsehood of calumny. We regularly view artistic depictions of horrible acts of violence and degradation. And especially today, we view pornography, which the Catechism reminds us consists in removing real or simulated sexual acts from the intimacy of the partners in order to display them deliberately to third parties. Pornography is so common today, accessible in every place through technology, so widely viewed by so many people that we can easily slip into thinking of it as normal or as just a small problem, a small sin. But it is not. It does grave injury to all who engage in it, those who allow themselves to be depicted, those who sell it, and those who view it. And so the viewing of pornography is not a small matter, but a grave one. It is not a venial sin, but it is a mortal sin if it is done with full knowledge and full freedom. So the Catechism affirms. If you view pornography, you must go to the sacrament of confession to have that mortal sin forgiven. You must seek out that sacrament quickly, and you must not receive Holy Communion before you do so. Even though it is everywhere, it is that serious. To be careless about what we see and hear and think is actually to value ourselves too little, as well as valuing others too little. Now, this might well be unconscious, thinking perhaps that only what we do is valuable and not what we are inside. For who are we? Could we possibly be that valuable? But we are. You are meant to be beautiful inside. Yes, even you yourself, beautiful and radiant and glorious in heart and mind, giving delight to God the Father, giving life and encouragement to other people if they catch a glimpse of who and what you are inside. In our first reading and gospel today, we hear about the vineyard that God has planted so carefully, spading it, clearing it of stones, planting the choicest vines, as it says in the first reading. Now, yes, this is a collective image of the people of Israel and of the church, but it is also a personal image. You are that vineyard which the Lord has planted so carefully. St. Teresa of Avila and other saints speak of our souls as being like enclosed gardens that can become beautiful, full of radiant flowers, not full of sordid, unseemly thoughts, or being polluted or poisoned by them, but pure and beautiful, full of that fruit that our Lord Jesus speaks of. And so the practice of modesty is very important, which is not just the kind of clothes that we wear, although that is important, but more deeply, at its root, valuing truly how precious and valuable other people are and you yourself. For the Catechism again tells us, modesty protects the intimate center of the person. It means refusing to unveil what should remain hidden. It guides how one looks at others and behaves toward them in conformity with the dignity of persons and their solidarity. It protects the mystery of persons and their love. It encourages patience and moderation in loving relationships. It keeps silence or reserve where there is evident risk of unhealthy curiosity. It is discreet. It is the recognition of the spiritual dignity that belongs to each of us as human beings, to others, and to you yourself. It is not just what we take into our bodies by eating, by breathing, or by physical contact that affects us, but what we love, what we look upon, what we dwell upon within our hearts and minds. And so St. Paul urges us in our second reading, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, or if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.